Okay, so let's see. Now we're going to read Psalm 8, and that's on page 539. I'll read the uneven, and you can read the even. Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, you have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. All flocks and herds, and the animals of the wild. Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Now we'll go to the second lesson, which is 2 Corinthians 13, 11 through 13 on page 1152. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part that I shall know fully, even as I am fully grown. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Here ends the second lesson.
Please stand for a reading from the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Trinity Sunday is found in the Gospel of Matthew, the 28th chapter. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the end of the age." This is the gospel, the good news. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. And I'm not sure if this is the time you usually do a children's sermon in a service, but I think this is a good time to do it. So I'd like to invite any children, young people forward who would like to have a brief time of children's message. I saw a few running around. Anybody else? You'll have to tell me where you guys usually go for a children's sermon. You sit up here? Okay. Take your place. There's quite a few of you. Quite a few. All right. Anybody else? There's a lot of you. Well, my name is Pastor Lisa. I'm from Anchorage. What's your name?
Nicole.
What's your
Angela.
Name? Angela. Nice to meet you.
Becca.
Becca. Nice to meet you. Lily, nice to meet you. How about you, sir? Jack. And you, sir? Connor, nice to meet you. I'm Pastor Lisa. I'm from Anchorage. And I'm going to get a little closer to you here. So I don't know if you guys heard Miss Sue, our pianist, when she's talked about the day. She said, "Welcome to worship. Today is a special day. It's what we call Festival Sunday, or a big celebration in the church." And I'm going to tell you what today is in a second. But tell me other big church holidays you know about. What are some other big church holidays, big festivals? A day when something super exciting has happened at church. Big festival, celebrating like what? I'll give you a hint. Jesus dies on a cross, and then he comes alive again, and so we celebrate.
Easter.
Yep, so that's another one. What's another big church holiday we celebrate? Okay, Jesus is born in a manger. Christmas. Yeah, those are the two big ones, right? Easter and Christmas. That's a lot of times when people come to church. Those are two of the big holidays. Well, there's other kind of small church holidays through the year when we celebrate other things. Like last week was a church holiday when at church we celebrated what's called Pentecost, which basically is when the church started. It's like how the church started many years ago, the first churches, way before the church started in Soldotna. Churches started way early, right after Jesus' time. And so that's called Pentecost. It's a church holiday. So today is a really minor church holiday, and it's called Holy Trinity Sunday. Do you guys have any idea what that means? No, it doesn't make any sense, does it? Well, you know what? Let me tell you a secret. Most adults don't know what that means either. Don't tell them, though, okay? So Holy Trinity Sunday is kind of a weird church holiday because it doesn't celebrate an event like Jesus rose from the dead. That's an event. Jesus was born in a manger. That's an event. You can, like, tell a story about it, right? Well, today we're celebrating the Trinity, which is another name for God, and Trinity is a word that means three. So show me three. Let's all do three. Trinity means three. How would you guys do three? We could do it like this, do it like this. Okay, show me three. Okay, three. We're celebrating that God is like three persons. This is super confusing. How could God be three people? Well, I'll tell you. God is God the Father. You can count them off with me. God is God as Jesus, right? So we have God the Father in heaven, Jesus who came to earth, and the last one is the Holy Spirit, who is like a presence with us always. Super confusing. Adults don't even understand this either, so don't worry if this is a little confusing. So God the Father, God is in Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, how could one God be three people? That's hard, huh? Well, let me tell you a secret. Here's one way to think about it. So you guys are, so raise your hand if you're a daughter. Are you a daughter? Raise your hand if you're a son. Okay. Raise your hand if you are a sister. Are you a sister to anybody? Okay. Raise your hand if you are a brother to somebody. Okay. Raise your hand if you're a cousin to somebody. Are you a cousin? Who has cousins? Okay. Raise your hand if you're a friend. Are you guys all friends to somebody? No, not you. Connor's not friends to anybody. Okay. Everybody else is. Raise your hand if you. Nobody's probably an aunt or uncle yet. No, probably not. Okay. What about a student? Is anybody in school? Who's a student? Okay. Explain to me, how are you guys all of those things when you're just one person? How could you be a daughter, a friend, a cousin, and a student? Well, they're kind of different parts, right, of you, right? Sometimes you're at home, you're being like a daughter, at school, you're being like a student. So God is like that too. God is a Father, God is Jesus, and God is the Holy Spirit, which is a presence that's with us always. So I think, even if that's confusing, I think the one thing that isn't confusing is that God comes to us in a lot of different ways. God comes to us in a lot of different ways with the big purpose of showing us that God is with us and God loves us, right? No matter how we see God, whether we see God as a Father up in heaven or Jesus our friend or the Spirit of God that's everywhere, the important part is that God is with us and God is loving us, no matter how many people God is. So could we say a little prayer thanking God for loving us? So we usually join hands at my old church. Would you mind joining hands, guys? And let's do this. Let's say an echo, and I'll say a line, and you say it back. So, dear God, thank you for your love. Thank you for being with us. As Father, as Jesus, as the Holy Spirit, we thank you for your love. Amen. Amen. So remember, three. Father, Son, Spirit. Number three. Okay. Thank you guys for coming up today. You did very good on a very difficult subject. Well, I want to thank you very much for having me here as part of your worship today. My name is Lisa Smith-Fiegel. I'm a pastor in Anchorage. I served at Central Lutheran Church for 7.5 years, and so that's the last time I was here was with my Central Lutheran pastor hat on. So you might remember, if not me, then you might remember the Central Lutheran Church Youth Musical. People remember that when the Youth Musical came? Yeah? danced in the aisle. Well, I didn't, but they danced in the aisles here and shared a message of God's love through song and word. So we were here 2 different years for the youth musical, and it was a great time for me as one of the chaperones of the trip, and I really appreciated your hospitality. You guys gave us a fabulous potluck both times after, and I remember just sitting out here in the congregation watching our youth up here thinking, I can't believe you get to look at this every Sunday, just this beautiful view behind your altar area. So it was good to be with you then, and it's good to be back with you. I have a different hat on now. My long, fancy title is Director for Evangelical Mission. It wasn't my idea for the title, but that's the job title for the Alaska Synod. It basically means that I work with the bishop. My specific areas are working with congregations and pastors and churches on outreach, evangelism, mission, stewardship, grants, and just kind of picking up any other little odds and ends that the bishop would like me to help with. So. I've met a number of you. I've been in Alaska for about a decade, and look forward to coming again another time. Pastor Randy said, well, you can come this time and preach, and maybe the next time we can come and talk about, you know, one of the other focus areas that I cover. So we'll hope to be with you again. And I just wanted to point out that I am here today with my husband, who's in the back here. That's Eric. There he is. He's waving. And our little son, Logan. Is he awake? Kind of. They made a late entry into church because Logie took a nap on the car. So we stayed last night with some friends who have a cabin in the Kenai Keys, and we are so glad they still have a cabin in the Kenai Keys. So anyway, we're so glad to be here, and we will be around after church, and so I would be happy to just chat informally or formally with you again about mission, outreach, evangelism, work in the neighborhood, or stewardship, or anything else. And finally, I should say before I begin the sermon that I do bring you greetings from our synod office, including our bishop, Shelley Wickstrom, and that's our bishop of the Alaska Synod of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and on behalf of our national bishop, who is named Elizabeth Eaton, that's the bishop of the whole ELCA. So, greetings. So, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So, if you attended any Sunday school at all as a child, you probably learned that to be a disciple means to follow Jesus, right? Follow Jesus. And we know this because Jesus gives that pretty specific command at the beginning of his ministry when he says, come and follow me. So the fishermen leave their nets and they follow him literally, because that's how it was in Jesus' day. If a respected rabbi asked you to drop your nets and follow, well, you did. It was a pretty big deal. So fast forward about 200 years, and today, when you think about following, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? Anybody have another association besides Jesus? Following? There you go. That was exactly what I was looking for. Social media, right? That's where that term is used these days, right? Most Americans probably think following. They don't insert Jesus after it. They insert, I didn't even know you could follow people on Pinterest. Thank you. I was going to say Facebook, Twitter, blogs. Good. I can add Pinterest. Thank you. You follow your friends on Facebook or on Twitter. You follow people who you think can say something important in 140 characters or less. You can follow a blog. You can follow comments on a blog. And just in case you have some time after all this following is done, you can also follow multiple blogs on this service called Tumblr. Is anybody on this? I didn't even know this existed. I had to Google this. There's a service that can help you follow blogs. So anyway, there's nothing wrong with all this following on social media inherently, but I'm pretty sure that when Jesus in today's gospel says, go and make disciples, he wasn't just hoping people would like his Facebook page, right? Because being a disciple in today's world, now it doesn't have to mean that we literally leave our fishing nets behind, especially now that the fishing season is open. But being a disciple today does mean, I think, being intentional about weaving God into our daily life, about gathering with our fellow believers for regular worship, about doing acts of service, about giving of our resources, and being ready and willing to talk to others about what faith means to us. Now that last one is a little challenging, right? Being ready and willing to talk to others about what our faith means to us. Because sometimes it might be easier to, say, log on to Facebook or do any other number of things rather than talk to someone about our faith or inviting them to church. This command to make disciples, that's what we're talking about, right? This command in Matthew's gospel, go and make disciples. This command can be challenging. It sounds hard. It sounds like a lot of work. It sounds intimidating. It sounds a little evangelical, right? Because I don't know about you, but most Lutherans I know typically live out their faith in worship, in giving, in faithful, faithful service. Lutherans are good at service, right? Acts of compassion and kindness and giving, food pantries and visiting the sick and showing up at disasters. Making disciples can seem a little bit more work, like something that would require some kind of teaching or preaching or evangelism. And making disciples might seem a little overwhelming if your life is full of things like, you know, errands to run, family to care for, a home to tend, other family members in need, work to do, bills to pay, any other number of things that life demands of us. And I think if the busyness of life isn't enough to stop us from talking about our faith or helping make disciples, then there's often another problem, is that sometimes we experience doubt in our life of faith. We doubt perhaps ourselves, our God, our church. We experience doubt at times. The gospel lesson today from Matthew is, as Sue said at the beginning, it's called the Great Commission, Matthew 8, 16 through 20. It's one of those verses you maybe had to memorize in confirmation, if you had to memorize verses in confirmation. It's a very, very well-known verse, and it's the very end of Matthew's gospel. At the end of my reading, I could have said, the end, because that's it. That's the very end of the gospel of Matthew. That's how he finishes up his gospel. It's a pretty short story. He meets his disciples. There's only 11 because Judas is gone. He meets his disciples on the mountain, and he gives them these instructions, which you may have heard before. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sidebar, that's why this text is used for Trinity Sunday, Father, Son, and Spirit. And teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, before Jesus gives these final instructions and then the book ends, there's a comment on how the disciples react when they first see Jesus on the mountain. Does anybody either remember it from the text or have your text in front of you? How did the disciples react before Jesus gives them the Great Commission? Anybody know? Okay, the text says, anybody? They're probably a little confused, first of all, because he's risen from the dead. But the text says, you could look it up later or look it up now, it says, some of them worshipped, but some of them doubted. Some of them worshipped, but some of them doubted. These people are seeing the resurrected Jesus in person. He's like right there in his glory. But still, some of them worshipped and some of them doubted. I think it's fair to say that this description of the disciples gathered on the mountain is probably similar to every assembled gathering of Christians in the last 2,000 years. Some of them worshipped, and some of them doubted. Now, in the English translation, obviously this New Testament is written originally in Greek. This is a translation. Now, in the English translation, it sounds like some of them worshipped, I don't know, maybe five or six, and some of them doubted, maybe the other half, or, you know, maybe more or less. But the Greek, the way that the Greek words are written, it can imply that everybody present was feeling some of both. Some part of them worshipped, and some part of them doubted. And I think that might be a better description of some of our gatherings of people of faith in the last 2,000 years. Sometimes we're worshiping, and some part of us is doubting. Now notice that those who doubt, or the part of them that doubts, depending on, are not scolded or reprimanded or scoffed at by Jesus. Rather, the worshipers, the doubters, who are probably the same people, are all given the same instruction. Go, make disciples. And the implication here is that they can do it. Because Jesus wouldn't ask them to do an impossible task or set them up to fail. He knew they could do it. Jesus knew they could go and make disciples, teach and share, minister, even if they didn't know if they could. Jesus encourages them then with the reminder that he himself is with them always to the end of the age. And so even though we know that the Bible wasn't written first to us in this century, in the 21st century, we still find meaning and find ourselves in these stories. And so I see us as a people of God in this story. I see us as the ones who worship and doubt. And yet we are also the ones who have the ability and are able to go and make disciples. And we are the ones that God promises to be with always to the end of the age. So that's the good news for us in this passage, that through the power of the Spirit that God is with us. God's presence and God's peace and God's power does not depend on our right action or our right belief. It doesn't matter if we're worshiping or doubting, because God is with us. God is here. And God is out there with us at work, at school, at home, at the cabin, at the grocery store, at the doctor's office, the post office, at the gas station, at our friend's house, or on the river. We need to keep reminding each other that the work of being the people of God and then going and sharing, making disciples, isn't limited to what happens in this building. Because you bring the church and the power and the presence of God with you wherever you go. And every place you go provides a unique way to notice God's presence. So we need to practice naming, noticing God's presence. Saying it to ourselves, maybe saying it to other people. So as I mentioned, my job title, my slightly verbose job title, is the Director for Evangelical Mission for the Alaska Synod. And I actually have a counterpart in all the 65 geographical regions, the synods of the country. So all of us, it's our job to work with congregations in your call, your collective call, not just your individual call, but your collective call to go and make disciples. So the church used to call this word evangelism. That was a really popular church word, evangelism. And nowadays, we're calling it mission. And when you think about mission, often what's the first thing you often think about when someone in a church setting says mission? Giving, somebody said Africa, that's what I usually think. What, money, what else? Something different? Starting a new church, right? Often people think it's something new churches or foreign missions or missionaries, so that's often the perception of mission. And all those things are true, but also when we think about mission, we can also just think about work that focuses on the people outside of our church, right? People next door who haven't experienced the good news or haven't made a connection, those who are not yet following Christ. Because the mission field is everywhere, people, as our world becomes more and more secular. You don't have to go to Africa, right, to find people who haven't heard or haven't explored a relationship with God. So to do that kind of mission, you have to get outside the building, right? So in my preparation for our visit here, I looked at your website for Christ Lutheran Church and to see what you were up to, and I saw that you're doing a lot of things that I would call missional. And yes, that's a word, even though spell check doesn't think it is. Missional, it's a word, because there's some books on it. You can read about churches being missional, right, getting outside your door, which is, again, another maybe way of thinking about evangelism. So things that I've seen you're doing is collecting food and helping at the Soldotna Food Pantry. Is that the same as the Kenai Peninsula Food Pantry? No. Okay, I saw both on your website. So I see that folks in this congregation are helping and collecting items for both. Yep. I saw that the people are collecting yarn for the knitters at the Wildwood Prison. What else? What else is happening in this parish where people are going out and serving for and with the community? Okay, in Anchorage, yep, okay, good. And what else is happening? Was that the same one somebody was gonna say? Anything else that's happening where you guys are going outside? I saw that too on your calendar. Your calendar is pretty full of a lot of different activities, I noticed, that may or may not be connected with the church. Weight loss groups, right, yoga, right? So you're offering your building as part of your ministry, good. So those are a number of things that are happening, it seems to me, at Christ Lutheran Church. And this is a good start, but I encourage you to continue thinking outwardly, because that's God's command, right? Go, not stay. Right? Go out. And ask what I would call the missional questions. These are questions like, why is Christ Lutheran here in this neighborhood or in this city? What is God calling Christ Lutheran to do for the sake of Jesus? So the more that you have conversations with each other and with others in the community, the more you'll be able to better answer that question of what God is uniquely calling you as the community to go and do. Because you can't do everything, right? But God does have a specific invitation and call, not just for us as individuals, but for this community. You exist for the purpose of God's world, right? Not for ourselves. So I want to close today by saying a couple more things about the day in the church calendar that I said with the young folks, the Trinity Sunday, which I'll say to you is the only festival Sunday that celebrates a doctrine, right, and not an event. It's kind of maybe seen as boring. But I think it's exciting because today's Holy Trinity Sunday helps us see that we recognize God, as we talked about with the children, as Father, Son, and Spirit, or you could use other names like Creator, Redeemer, Sanctifier. It's pretty churchy. Whatever fancy words work for you to describe those three parts of God, or three of those parts of God. But I wanted to say in closing, where I think that the Trinity can be helpful, the nature of God as Trinity can be helpful when we think about mission or getting outside our church. Number one, the first important thing I learned about the Trinity in seminary, because we had a class, right, about this, and this is what I learned at the first day of my first class about the Holy Trinity. Ready? It's a mystery. You can't define it. You can't explain it. You can't fully understand how God is interwoven in all those complicated ways and how God relates to God's self. It's totally a mystery. I mean, it's kind of like God is, you know, grandfather, father, son, or maybe it's kind of like God is an egg, yolk, white, shell. But it's not really an easy metaphor. It's really a mystery how God can be a Trinity and yet be one God. It's actually intended, the mystery of the Trinity is intended for us to worship, not comprehend. The second thing I'll say, I only have 2 points about the Trinity. I should have had three, but I only have two. The second thing about the Trinity is that, this is the second thing I learned in Trinity class at seminary, is that the Trinity is a relationship. God is in a relationship with God's self, right? God is a we don't understand how that works either, but it's a relationship, Father, Son, and Spirit. So it's not just that relationships are important to God, it's that God is a relationship, Father, Son, and Spirit. And so since being interrelational is important to God, then it's important for us and important to us. Because God's deepest desire is that we are in right, good, healthy, whole relationships with each other, with God, but also with our neighbors and our world, the mission field, the world that God so loves, that God died for. So when we listen and respond to God's command to go and make disciples, we never know what kind of relationships we're going to get into, right? What kind of people we'll learn, we'll meet, we'll encounter. It's a mystery. But we can trust that God is with us as we go. Thanks be to God. Amen. And our worship continues with the hymn that we learned before worship.